Let's pray as we're standing. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the great privilege that it is to be your people, and we pray that you would strengthen our hearts and minds as we come to your word this morning. And we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen. Do sit down. The 1990s rock star Jarvis Cocker has been quoted as saying, "Being in a band is about being in a gang of people who do the same things and have a certain view of the world." Deep down within us all is a recognition that we need other people in our lives, people who value us and with whom we can connect. Modern life, however, doesn't always seem to make this sort of thing easy. Recent reports have shown that isolation is a growing problem, and not just, as many might anticipate, amongst the old, but also amongst the younger generation. Research by Dr. Jennifer Lau of King's College London suggests that in an increasingly globalised economy and culturally diverse country, there is a concerning lack of social mixing. And she points out that online interaction isn't a substitute for face-to-face socialising. Well, human hunches and academic research illustrate what we know from the Bible. We are made in the image of God, like God. God who is himself a relationship of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We then are made to interact with others. Now, one of the main ways that God has provided for his people to facilitate interaction and connections with others is the local church. And it's fitting that on our annual meeting Sunday, we have a Bible reading that helps us see the value of church and how we play our part in it. Now, last week, we began looking at the letter to the Hebrews, and we saw something of the background. People from a Jewish heritage who had come to believe in Jesus as the Messiah, but who were finding that opposition and challenges were making them tempted to drift away from Jesus and to simply return to their previous lives. Now, as we this morning jump ahead to chapter 10, we find that one of the effects of this pressure was, chapter 10, verse 24, the habit of some neglecting to meet together. That is, in our terms, some were no longer going to church. They were not meeting with their fellow believers. Now, as the writer develops his argument that Jesus is the better way, better than any other alternative, and therefore we must stick with him, he speaks of the need for communal Christianity. We need one another to keep believing in Jesus. Jesus, who is God's final word to the world. Jesus, the one who represents and shows to us God's character and nature perfectly expressed. Well, do turn to page 1212, Hebrews chapter 10, and we see in our reading three let us's, that is, phrases beginning let us. And they each remind us of what we're called to as Jesus' people, the church. Firstly then, let us draw near to God. Now, the great privilege of the people of Jesus is that through him, we can approach God. So we read verse 19. "Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near." Now, when Jesus died, his blood shed on the cross was a perfect sacrifice that dealt with our offence to God. Our hearts, verse 22, have therefore been sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Jesus has provided purification for sins. And as a result, a new and living way has been opened for us into the very presence of God. As sinful people, in our own resources, we have no right whatsoever to be there. But Jesus, the ultimate priest, can bring us to God. Now, given this great privilege, we're told as believers in Jesus, verse 22, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Well, what great words to remember as we meet together as church, to pray, to sing praises, to learn from God's word together. We have the greatest privilege to be in connection with the true and living God himself through his Son. We are no mere club with a common interest, but the people of God who can share access to God. Now, our formal gatherings as All Saints Church here then are no mere routine. We are together coming into the presence of no one less than the living God himself. Now, as we do this together, we benefit from the ministry of others. And this is a good opportunity to say thank you to all those who play a part in making possible our services and meetings, in practically enabling buildings to be suitable and finances to be in shape. Others who lead us in prayer and in lifting our praise to God through music. Others who serve us by opening up the Bible so that we can be clear what our privileges and opportunities are, as well as enabling others to see what God has to offer. Drawing near, which is our great privilege, includes prayer. And it's great when God's people take advantage of the privilege won for us by Jesus to draw near to him. So let's take up those opportunities to draw near together, including prayer times on Sundays, in small groups, our monthly prayer meeting. And in a couple of weeks, as we join in the week before Pentecost Sunday, in the national wave of prayer that's been initiated by the Archbishops of Canterbury and York, they want us to pray for the evangelization of the nation. We'll look out for more information about that. And do be praying too, as I mentioned before, for the 316 weekend, only 2 weeks away now. And be thinking of who to invite to, whether it be the men's breakfast or the girls' night out, or indeed the services here at 9, 10:30 and 6:30. Let us then, with humble confidence, through the blood of Jesus, draw near to God. Well, the second let us is let us hold fast to our hope. Verse 23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Now, these early believers were under pressure, and we can be also. Anti-Christian secularism seems to be on the rise, and there are many things in life that can make us feel downhearted. Well, together, we need to hang on firmly to this great hope that we've been considering, God's work in Christ, which opens the way to him. And we can hold fast to our hope because he who promised is faithful. He is the God of the covenant who keeps his word. To hold fast to our hope together, we need to be reminded of God's faithful word week by week on a regular basis. We need to hear God's word in our services as we gather, in our meetings and our small groups. And we can boost one another by sharing God's word with each other in many and different ways. Let us then hold fast to our hope. And the third let us is, let us encourage one another. Now, if failing to meet together was a danger for these early Hebrew Christians, then it certainly is for us too. How much we need each other to help us, one another, stand firm. Verse 24. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. As we meet, we each have a role to stir one another up, to, as it were, prod one another, so that we can care more one for another, so that we can serve Christ in our lives in what the author calls good works. So we can encourage one another, literally put courage into one another, strengthening each other. We can do it as we know that those that we're trying to encourage are facing pressure and difficulties and challenges, and encourage them to keep going. Now, it's great when we see this sort of thing going on in our church family, in our groups, and over a coffee at a service, or through a visit, or a timely phone call, and many other ways. And how important it is, too, to encourage our young people who are under such great pressure from the society around them. And it's good to see good work amongst young people from naught through to 18, through church groups and Ferriby Church of England School. The many different ways that our church is involved in working with young people, all keenly supported by Nicholas Haydock, our parish assistant. And can I encourage us to pray for him in his future, and also for the possibility of someone else coming to join us in a similar capacity. Well, this encouragement of one another is itself encouraged because we know that whilst there are pressures now, we have confidence for the future. Jesus is returning, and that day is drawing near, says the author. The day when all things will be restored in Jesus, and we shall together share the joy of the perfected new creation of heaven. Well, many things remind us that we're made for community, and in God's grace, we've been brought together into a community of his rescued people, the church. We need one another. Today, on this annual meeting Sunday, we are not dealing merely with physical property issues or simply the day-to-day running of a club, but rather the affairs of a people who have been brought to God and brought together through Jesus. We're reminded, let us corporately together draw near to God. The blood of Christ, as we remember in Holy Communion, has been shed for us, so we can together enter God's presence with confidence. Let us hold fast to our hope, boosting one another by sharing God's word in many and different ways. And let us encourage one another, stirring one another up to love and good deeds. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the great privilege it is to be your people. And we pray that by your Spirit you'd work within us, that we might be more the people of God you want us to be here in this community. Help us to hold fast to what you've made us, and to encourage one another, and to point others to you. And we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen.